When an idea becomes so interesting to you and has such appeal to you, it begins to take on a momentum of its own. And when an idea takes on a momentum of its own, it takes on qualities and characteristics that are in alignment with what it is, but may be surprising to you from where you're sitting. If you will trust that the idea itself is taking on characteristics and qualities that are perfect for its ultimate manifestation in exactly the way that will be utterly delicious to you, then you can just sit back and watch with awe and delight. The only time that this ever gets troublesome is when you try to intervene and say, but no, that's not what I'm wanting, not understanding that the unfolding of what is happening has a perfection to it that has now transcended your likes and dislikes and is moving straight into the manifestation in a way that really, truly is beyond your conscious thought, because as the director of your reality, the one who is living your inspired life, your job is never to figure out how it happens or how it gets there. We're not saying that you need to like things you don't like or to ignore what you dislike. What we're saying is that you will notice when it is that you want to, out of habit, intervene in the unfolding of some sort of magnificent idea because you think you need to speed it along or make it happen faster or give it more legs or do something to it just to get it going because it seems to you that nothing is happening. You see, your conscious mind only stays focused in on physical reality within a narrow bandwidth, so there's a lot of things happening around you that you don't see. But that's because you're not here to see everything, you're here just to see what delights you. And instead of trying to intervene in the unfolding of a delicious manifestation and to get it right and to make it happen, what if what you did was you just trusted that the idea itself knows what it's doing? You, after all, gave birth to it. Now, of course, for you to do this, you would have to be willing, at least in some way or shape, to trust yourself as the creator of your reality. And this isn't a bone that we're giving you to gnaw on, to sort of worry about and think about and figure out, well, maybe that's not what I'm doing. Maybe I'm blah, 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 blah. That's not what we're offering here. What we're offering here is something very simple. Let what you have decided will happen actually happen by taking your hands off of it and just enjoying the day right where you are, right where you're sitting. Back in the old days, when you were ramping yourself up and motivating yourself and trying really hard to get it done, it was relieving to be able to take action, any action, just some action, just get it done, just get something moving, get something started. And we're not saying don't do that, because there may be many times when that's precisely what you want to do and it feels better to you in the doing of it. And you see, that's the difference between living an inspired life versus living a motivated life. When you're living a motivated life, you're doing it no matter how it feels, because you're getting in there and getting it done and making sure it looks right. Because motivation, after all, basically at its core, has one thing going for it. You want validation from someone else. Usually it's a parent. It could be someone else, but usually it's a parent who may, in fact, no longer be alive. A parent who actually now has no interest in this. But motivation is for validation. It's for verification. It's for confirmation. It's to get things to look right in the way that you think they should. Now, we know that's not usually the goal. That's not usually what's going on. But when motivation is used as a tool, that's what it's about. Because it's about what you're doing. So it's about what you look like. It's about what's pushing you. It's about what's making you do this. No matter whether anyone can see it or not, that's what it comes down to. When you're living an inspired life, you can try, but you can't really care about what anybody else thinks, because there's going to be lots of things that you do that no one else is going to understand, because it's not there for their comprehension. It's not there to benefit them or to help them in that specific way. In other words, for them to be able to understand why you are doing what you are doing. It will benefit them and help them in many other ways, because alignment always begets something helpful. And an inspired life is an aligned life. Absolutely. Positively. But when you're trying to get your hands in on something and you're trying to make it happen because you want to speed it along or get it done or make it look right or just actually give yourself some relief or soothing, sort of an artificial kind of relief or soothing, just because to take action, any action, is what you think will feel better. Pay attention right in that moment. Does it actually feel better to do something? And we've heard again and again and again and again, literally countless times, from our physical friends, "But I don't know what to do. But I don't know what to do here." And that question is never really about action. It looks like it's about action because you might zig and zag and zig and zag trying to get things done in order to find relief, but relief is not forthcoming. By the time you begin to understand the power of relief, by the time you begin to understand what an inspired life actually means, whether you are practicing it to your pleasure or not, by the time you intellectually understand it, motivation will feel cold. It really will not have the feeling that it had before. There are going to be many times when you're going to want to do something just to do something, and that actually does feel better. And you'll know that that's actually speeding the plow, because if you feel better, everything is getting better. That's all there is to it. That's the basis of living an inspired life. But when we hear our physical friends say over and over again, "But I don't know what to do," what they're really saying is, "I don't know how I feel about the fact that I don't seem to be as active a participant in the manifestation of this idea as I used to be." And in many different ways, we have said and we say today, it's not about your level of participation in any physical sense. Your level of participation in a metaphysical sense is complete. It's whole, and it's done. You gave birth to the idea. It's only because you think that there's pieces and parts of physical reality that belong to you, and everything else is just sort of out there for take, or for keep, or for grab, or for whatever. When in reality, every piece and part of physical reality is yours. It belongs to you. You have created it. Now, you've created it in such a way, and you have blended reality in such a way with other people, to where it looks like there is a piece that belongs to you. You've got your name on the title. And then there are many larger pieces that don't belong to you. And we're not here to talk about legal concepts of ownership. What we're talking about is your experience of your physical reality, including your experience of having created someone else owning that thing over there. That this is the case is what is relevant here. Because when you are trying to get in there and getting things done, what you're thinking is that no one is helping you and you've got to make it happen. Or if they're helping you, it's because of that phrase that we find to be very odd indeed, that God helps those who help themselves. Well, that doesn't really make any sense, although we understand what it means, but metaphysically it doesn't have an inkling of sense. Because there is no outside power, there is no invisible hand called God that is moving things around. There's no father figure or mother figure, which is what that really comes down to, that's saying, "Okay, now that you've cleaned your room, I'll help you with your homework." That's essentially a translation of that vibrational statement, "God helps those who help themselves." If you do your part, God will do his or her part. But there is no outside force. There's only you. And you are imbued with all of the qualities and characteristics of your creator, and are imminently powerful in the same way, and are directing your reality to construct itself according to your desire. It's constantly happening, always happening, endlessly happening. So when you think about things in these terms and you stop and think about, okay, what is next? What's right in front of me? What feels better? You can see why getting in there to make it happen would be something you might want to do, because it actually does feel better to be in the getting in there, to be approaching it, to be getting into it, to be exploring it, to be going deeper with it, to be delighting in it, all of that. While at the same time, it's quite probable that instead of trying to make anything happen, what you're best at doing, what works the most for you, is to allow it to happen and to let your desire take on the qualities and characteristics that belong to it, that are an extension of you, and so they will be utterly delightful. When you're not pushing against yourself by trying to motivate yourself against yourself to get something done, this becomes very easy and actually becomes very obvious. So today is a very good day to be aware of how powerful it is to be right where you are in the inspiration that is imminently present. And the place where you find this is just simply in the thought, the action, or the word that feels better.